Welcome to Level 7, the podcast about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Welcome to Level 7. I'm Ben Avery. I am one half of the Welcome to Level 7 podcast crew, and I'm joined here by the other half. Some might even say the better half, but most wouldn't. And that
That's
is
the prettier half.
Daniel.
Sorry, I haven't shaved today, so I feel really handsome and rugged.
I see.
Like Harrison Ford on a good day.
Yeah.
You're not buying it.
I'm not. Not at all. Because I'm looking at your avatar picture for Skype right now. And I'm not going to say it's not a good looking guy. I'm just going to say it's, yeah. Eyes wide open, the mouth wide open.
Hey, that's a happy guy.
It is a happy guy. It looks like a surprise guy. It looks like a guy who's heard some really good news. Perhaps a guy who is maybe even looking at Twitter today while watching
so
interesting
Twitter
stuff
today.
Come in
so
from San
Twitter.
Diego Comic-Con.
So let's just tell everybody, what day are we recording on? What's the actual date when someone from the future goes back and listens to this?
Okay, so this is Saturday, July 20th, that we are recording this episode. And it's all not quite midnight my time, so it's a little earlier your time, because you're in Minnesota and I'm in Indiana, and we've been watching news come in today and yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yesterday was the big panel for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and today was the big panel for Marvel Studios. And originally, we weren't going to do this episode. We were going to be doing Captain America for this episode, but we're shifting gears a little bit because there is a lot to talk about that came through from San Diego Comic-Con.
Well, and you kept telling me that there wasn't.
Well, I didn't think there was going to be. And honestly, let's put it this way. I thought there was going to be a lot more to talk about. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel from San Diego Comic-Con. I mean, San Diego Comic-Con, I've been there once. And I'll tell you right now, when I went to San Diego Comic-Con, I stayed behind my table selling books. I did not leave my table because I didn't have time to try and do anything. To go and wait in line. I ended up buying a couple comic books on my way to the bathroom and maybe bought a couple comic books on my way back from the bathroom.
Whoa. There were actual comic books at Comic-Con?
Yes, it was amazing. The place where my table was, the year I was there, they put like Artist Alley type people in between toy and comic dealers. And so you had like the main area where you had like all the people setting up for, you know, Lego and Warner Brothers and Marvel and all that kind of thing. And then all around, you know, we're talking not quite 10 years ago, but maybe six or seven years ago. And all around were, you know, the dealers and stuff. And so on my way out of the hall to get to like the bathroom, I had to pass these two dealers who were both selling comic books, and they were all like comic books from the 70s. And they were selling them for, you know, $1, $2, $3, that kind of thing. So that is where I got Giant Size Man Thing, number one. That is where I got...
You're the guy who owns a copy of that.
What?
You're the guy who owns a copy of it.
I am. And I got it for like $3. Actually, I got a bunch of Swamp Monster stuff that time. Because I also got, I think it was called It. It's based on a novel, not Stephen King's novel, but on a novel about a muck monster kind of thing. But anyway... So when I was there, I didn't go to any of these things.
Welcome to the Muck Monsters and Swamp Podcast with Ben and Dan.
I'll tell you, I could do a Swamp Monster podcast, almost. I like swamp monsters,
and I
am not shy about this. In fact, Man-Thing would be something I would love to see show up in just as a random background item in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I would be so excited about that.
It would be a nice Easter egg.
Considering how bad the Man-Thing movie was that we ended up getting. Oh.
But, you know, I'm going to be honest. I've only really read Man-Thing in one set of comic books, which was a Savage Wolverine tale.
And that's not even really him.
And he didn't do, just like Perry the Platypus, he didn't do much.
What are you talking about? Perry the Platypus doesn't do it. We're way off topic.
Does a lot.
We're way off topic.
Don't do much.
What I was going to say was, when I went there, I didn't have time to stand in lines. And honestly, I have a hard time. I saw someone tweet something about, you know, to get into the Marvel Studios panel today. They were in line for 10 hours. I mean, I can't imagine doing that. I am excited about Marvel movies. I am excited about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I am not 10 hours standing in line just to see a couple clips from the movies that I'm going to be seeing in a couple months to a year. I just can't imagine that.
No.
I'll
be honest. I went to D23 2 years ago where they did a huge movie panel that included the Avengers. And folks, I was part of the early entry group, and before the general public could be allowed in, the line was already full. And I was glad that I wasn't in that line because there was way too many people just to get a free cupcake.
So, yeah, I mean, that's Comic-Con is an experience, but the comic convention experience, I've gone to one convention as like an attendee, and that was my first convention I ever went to. It was Wizard World in Chicago, and every time I've gone to a convention since then, I've been behind a table signing comics and selling comics and that kind of thing. That's really more – I'm not a collector of – I mean, I'm a collector, but I'm not like the kind of collector who wants to spend money so I can go in and spend money. The convention experience is not designed for someone like me. Now I love going to conventions and I love meeting people and, you know, talking to fans and stuff like that and talking to artists and meeting other artists and writers and that kind of thing. But yeah, so this convention, San Diego Comic-Con, I just can't imagine standing in line for 10 hours for this stuff. Now that said, you and I were both eagerly watching our Twitter feeds as Marvel had a couple people who were tweeting about both panels. So,
well, but I was also doing other things during those time periods too.
Yes, and so was I. But I was eagerly awaiting it while I was doing these other things. So,
and it may be, in my opinion, there wasn't a whole lot going on, so it was easy to do other things.
That was my problem. I was eagerly awaiting things that did not happen. And I don't know, do you want to start with the things that didn't happen?
No, let's start with the
good. Or should we end with that?
Let's start with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. All right, let's end with what didn't happen.
Okay, all right. Because I could really easily go grumpy comic guy on things here. So let's talk about some good stuff, though. All right, so the Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel was yesterday. And let's talk about that then.
Let's just start with the elephant in the room. Okay. How much do you despise every person in that room since the majority of that panel was actually watching the pilot?
Okay, I don't despise anyone about this, but I'm slightly jealous. I can wait until September. I'm okay with waiting until September. I would like to have been. I'm not going to ever say, well, I'm glad I wasn't there because I could experience it. You know, if I had been there, I would have been very pleased to be there.
If I was there, I'd be telling everyone that I was there and that I knew things that I'm not going to tell you.
Which I think is what's happening right now, because I'm seeing reviews come up and no one's talking about the one thing that I want to find out about from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pilot.
And it's not even Coulson's death.
No. I've resigned myself to, we're not even going to know the whole story. Even in the season finale, we're not going to know the whole story. It'll be something that happens, you know, in the season premiere of season two, where we'll find out the entire story, or there'll be some big revelation at the end of the season, but we're not going to know about Coulson's return. And one thing I would be very interested in finding out from Clark Gregg is if he even knows.
I disagree, sir.
You think Clark Gregg knows?
I think a lot of people know. And I think we're not going... I was in the same camp as you. I thought that we were going to be wondering for a while how he came back And then I saw a tweet that said Coulson's return makes perfect sense. And it's one of those tweets that doesn't explain how he returns, but it does make it pretty clear that they are going to do some explanation in that pilot, and we're going to have some answers early.
I think that what we're going to find out in the pilot is there is a story that makes sense in the pilot episode that Coulson knows. But I don't think Coulson himself, because that's something I've heard, is that Coulson himself doesn't know the exact details, and that he actually is, like, there's a secret that he's not supposed to know about what happened to him during that time after Loki killed him. And that's why I'm wondering, does Clark Gregg even know? So I don't think Coulson knows, and I'm on the fence about whether Clark Gregg knows. I'd like to ask him. I might tweet him with that question, see. But, yeah, I don't think we really find out in the pilot.
I disagree.
Well, you can disagree.
Just because of one random tweet that I saw by one person who saw it.
That doesn't even answer.
That's all the evidence I have is one tweet that says it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Okay, so let's talk about the thing that no one is releasing that you want to know.
Does Lola fly? Does Lola fly? Lola should be a flying car. I want Lola to be a flying car. I'm predicting Lola is a flying car. I've predicted in the past that Lola is a flying car, but no one will reveal. Now, a week or two ago, I actually tried to get Clark Gregg to answer the question, is Lola a flying car? Now, I made it clear to him that we're just, you know, having fun with this question. And so, you know, if he wanted to have fun with the answer, that's fine. He didn't answer. Okay. And there can only be one reason that he didn't answer. And obviously that reason is because, yes, Lola is a flying car. That's the only reason why. I mean, you know, being busy, getting ready to go, you know, on a week-long vacation to San Diego Comic-Con, you know, those having a life of his own, being away, you know, having a family, those are not possibly the reasons why.
No, he would not ignore a question about a flying car.
No. How could anyone ignore a question about a flying car? That's just bad form, sir. Bad form. Unless Lola is a flying car. So, and there's some people listening right now, maybe, who have seen the pilot and they're like laughing at me because either yes, Lola is a flying car, or no, Lola is not a flying car. But right now, it's not a laughing matter, man. So
you need to get out more. You need to go outside, lay in the grass.
Man, I spent all day out today. Actually, I was inside, but I was not inside my house. But yeah, anyway.
There's bigger things in life than when they're not Lola's a flying car.
Okay, I'm just saying. I'd like to find out. And no one will say. I've read some reviews. I've even read some of the spoiler-filled reviews, and really nothing got spoiled too much. But
no.
There are some spoilers I've seen, but I don't know if you want to talk about spoilers.
I don't want to talk about spoilers.
I didn't think so. So
I'm staying away from spoilers. All right. I want to be as clean as possible when I sit down for that premiere.
Well, I'm going to be unclean when I sit down for that premiere, because I will know before that premiere if Lola flies or not. Let's move on.
All right. So,
I mean, if there's a flying car in Captain America, who I've now named Nora, because
it does seem like a Nora.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that and thinking, that car seems like a Nora.
Hmm. Too bad it doesn't work.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, the beginning of flying cars.
Well, that's a different topic for a different day.
Possibly, maybe for our next episode when we actually talk about Captain America.
Why would we do that?
I don't know, but I feel like teasing it right now. Spoiler, Captain America next episode. All right, so what were we going to touch on first then?
Well,
now that we've gotten past the flying car, let's talk about real things here.
One of the questions was, when are we going to see characters from the Marvel comic book universe?
Yes.
And we got a very interesting answer, which I think will lead to speculation by both of us.
Yeah. Before we do the answer, you can watch the panel, actually, by going to welcometolevel7.com/SDCC. And one of the producers tweeted links to YouTube videos of the panel. So it's on our welcometolevel7.com website, welcometolevel7.com/SDCC. So, yeah, what you were going to say.
So they asked whether or not we'd see characters from the Marvel cinematic, from the Marvel comic library in the MCU that haven't made the page yet in the show.
Yes.
And they said,
maybe.
This is what I'm saying is, I was kind of underwhelmed by the things that were revealed in the different panels here. And nothing new was revealed there. Now, obviously, they showed the whole episode. So they revealed quite a bit in that panel. I was hoping that the panel would be giving us, you know, little tidbits of information.
But I do
like who is J. August what's his name? J. August
Richards.
Richards. Yeah. Like, who is he gonna play?
Well, he's playing Michael Peterson.
Yes, that was revealed. People who saw the episode tweeted about that. His name's Michael Peterson. I'm not going to give you the spoiler about what he actually, why he has his powers.
Well, but if you open up the Marvel Who's Who, what is that called nowadays? The Marvel Files? Who knows? If you open up Michael Peterson, you'll find him on pages not in the book at all.
Yeah. You Google Michael Peterson Marvel, you know what you get? Oh, wait, you do get something. Why didn't I do this earlier?
I'm not looking at it.
Wait a minute.
I'm afraid.
What is this?
Oh, now you have my attention.
Mike Peterson is a human, student, group membership, none, affiliations. He's friends to Slapstick.
He's Slapstick's best friend.
He is. He has no powers, but is a pretty bright guy and a skilled artist.
You know, I think this is a different Michael Peterson. Because here's where I'm going with this.
What the heck is this?
Michael Peterson's a pretty generic name. Come on, you can find six in the phone book.
Well, and this is where they can pull any name out from the Marvel library and use it in any way they want. You know...
And I'm pretty sure nobody actually Googled Michael Peterson until after they put it on paper.
We should have Googled this way ahead of time, but... Oh, my goodness.
Here's the gist. I think we're going to see a lot of characters that are written specifically for the show.
I'm sorry. I'm stuck on Slapstick. Slapstick is... That is the weirdest character I've ever seen. Okay, we need to get away from Slapstick because back to our topic. You're gonna say
I think we're gonna see a lot of these heroes and villains that they run into that have been specifically written for the show.
Yes.
They did leave the possibility open that we will see other characters from the comic book universe. Please, Taskmaster. But I think a lot of these, probably every two out of three, are probably gonna be originals.
Yes. And that's not a bad thing necessarily. I mean, as long as it's tied into something that makes it feel like it's part of that universe. It doesn't have to feel like it doesn't have to feel like it's part of like the Marvel history. But like, look at items 47. In item 47, what do you have? You have something that's tied to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's two original characters who are doing something with an existing item from the war at New York. That makes sense, and I think we're going to see a lot of that kind of thing.
And I think we're going to see it on this show specifically since they mentioned item 47 and the fact that there's this black market of Chikiri items that are being sold. So I think we are going to see kind of that extension of – I mean, item 47 in many ways could be a mini pilot for Agents Marvel of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It felt like that almost.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It almost felt like that. But that's again for another episode. So yeah, Michael Peterson, that's who he's playing. The speculation that he's Rage or that he's Cage or, you know, any other number of characters.
Mange. I'm trying to think of things that rhyme with age. Page.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael Peterson. So yeah. And I'm interested to see then what this episode revolves around, because Michael Peterson is not a bad guy. And so there's you know, where's the conflict going to come from?
Well, we've known that from the trailer, because specifically Coulson, when you see Michael Peterson, even though we didn't know he was Michael Peterson, says that's a superhero.
Right, and that's what I'm excited to see, is where they're going to take that. You know, that they're obviously, you know, going after him because he has powers. Well, why are they going after him? Why does he have powers? It'll be interesting to see. And that is something that'll be fun to experience without spoilers, but I probably won't. So
the other half of that maybe question is there a good chance that we're probably going to see some characters from the comic universe. But I think even you have pointed out that that's kind of a tricky slope when it comes to casting and if they show up on the show.
Well, and so did someone from the show. I can't remember where I saw it now. It was in an interview. I don't know if I linked to it or not, but someone from the show was talking about, no, it wasn't from the show. It was from the one-shots. They were talking about what Marvel one-shots there could have been. And they were talking about doing possibly a Black Panther one-shot, or possibly doing a Nick Fury origin story and that kind of thing. And they were talking about all these different heroes they could bring in. And then they specifically said, but any hero we bring in, as soon as we do that, if a later filmmaker wants to use that character, they're caught. They have to use the version.
Sorry.
Rudy!
Mm-hmm. You need a drink of water over there?
No, I'm good.
But they're stuck with that character. They may not be stuck with that actor necessarily, but they're definitely stuck with the continuity there.
They are stuck with the continuity.
And so, yeah, as soon as they tell a story with that character, that character's part of the universe. And it is a dangerous situation. So I think we're going to see a lot of C-list characters, like the Great Lakes Avengers or Captain Ultra, another favorite of mine. So, yes.
So who's not going to be there? Somebody from the audience asked about Deadpool.
Yes, and I'm so glad to hear this answer.
Right now, we're going to tell you whether or not you can expect a call, because after RIPD, you might need some work, apparently. Originally, Loeb said, well, that's level 7 information, and I was happy to hear he was a listener.
Yes.
And then he came out and he said, probably not.
And, well, isn't Deadpool an X-Men character anyway?
Well, he's been in an X-Men movie because he was an origin Wolverine, so he's quote-unquote part of that family at the moment.
I think he is, though. I think he's an X-Men. I think he's considered a part of the X-Men family.
And he's never been an Avenger, as far as I can remember.
Well, and if he's not an X-Men character, it's possible that they used him in X-Men to extend the usage of the character in the contracts.
Because if
they don't use a character, if they don't use, you know, the family, like, they have to make a Fantastic Four movie, 20th Century Fox does, or they will lose the Fantastic Four to back to Marvel Studios. And it's purely a money thing. You have to make a movie every so many years. I had a contract like that for one of my own properties where they had to produce new material or it would revert back to me. And that's after they had paid me money for that. So they didn't want to lose the money, so we're actually making some new stuff. And it's a good deal if it works. But I think that's probably what's happening with Deadpool.
Yeah. And he has been a member of X-Force in the comics, so.
Yeah.
That was a little disappointing for me, because I'll be honest, having Coulson and Deadpool on screen at the same time would have been a lot of awesome. Because unlike you, I am a Deadpool fan.
And I might possibly turn that episode off, so. Oh. Yeah. Not a Deadpool fan.
A lot of good quips.
I don't care. He's a. I'm okay.
He's
this
the
is
only
not,
Marvel character, Ben, who's going to talk directly to you.
That's great. That's wonderful. I just don't want to see it. So.
Fine.
Yeah.
So we do know a guest star who is going to be in that first episode.
We do. This is a spoiler for people who want to stay clean.
It's really not a spoiler, though, because if you listen to the trailer, you can hear it.
Okay. I'm just saying, if you don't want to know, take out your earbuds for a couple seconds, because
Maria Hill's going to be there.
Yeah.
In the pilot.
Something we wondered about, something a lot of people wondered about, and it has been confirmed now because they saw her in the episode. Now, this isn't that she's going to be like a main cast member or anything.
Because How I Met Your Mother is still going on next year, correct?
Right. They have one more season. And so I could see her doing some more guest spots and then joining the cast for season two.
I'll be honest, when it comes to How I Met Your Mother, I've only ever seen it on cable TV where they show 5 hours of it in a row. So I don't know where they're at. So
I have no idea where they're at either. But apparently we're going to meet the mother.
There you go. Here's my question. In the TV show, when is Maria Hill going to start to be like the comic Maria Hill and begin to get a little bit of an attitude?
I was going to ask you that. And you know what? When I watched The Avengers yesterday, because I was so jealous of all the people who watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I was like, I gotta watch something. So I watched The Avengers last night, and there were some moments there. She was standing up to Nick Fury and questioning orders a couple times. And now, I only am familiar with Maria Hill from Civil War, and that's actually not even from the comic book. That's from the audio drama, which we're going to review at some point on the podcast here. But as far as the Maria Hill of the comics goes, I'm curious what's going to happen, because Maria Hill, she was, for a while, the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. after Nick Fury disappeared, right?
Correct. And maybe might be right at this moment in the comic universe.
Again?
Maybe.
Because wasn't Tony Stark
Tony Stark was director.
For a little while. And
everything went down, and with the relaunch of Marvel Now, and with the Blood Ties series that we reviewed with Nick Fury Jr., Nick Fury Sr. walks away, and he handpicks his successor, who is Daisy Johnson, who is a youngster that he's trained, and there is definitely tension between the more senior in age Maria Hill and the younger Daisy Johnson.
Okay. So Maria Hill, I don't like her in Civil War anyway, because she's...
You're not supposed to like her.
Right. And Maria Hill in The Avengers, you are supposed to like, because it's Colby Smulders, and she's nice. So... But yes, she is in the pilot episode.
You know, I really do wonder if maybe, because I believe she's in Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, when I see some of the summaries of the plot, I do begin to wonder if that is where we begin to see the Maria Hill who would turn against Nick Fury.
Or who would turn against Captain America. Because that's his movie.
Yep.
And okay, we'll talk about Captain America soon enough, but okay, so Maria Hill, she's in the pilot. She's also in Winter Soldier, so she is not going away in the Marvel Universe anytime soon.
We also did find out a little bit about Agent May today.
I don't think we found out anything new about her, though.
Well, we found out she has a mysterious past.
Yeah, we already knew that.
We did?
Yeah.
We found out that she doesn't talk a lot.
Yeah, well, that I don't know about, but...
And we found out that she's dangerous, but we knew that.
Well, here's the thing. With Melinda May, I actually compiled some information about the different characters from, like, casting sheets and stuff like that for some things on the blog. And for Melinda May, it says, she's soulful and slightly damaged by her combat experiences. Melinda is an ace pilot, a weapons expert, and a soldier who can and has gone beyond the call of duty. The character was originally listed in the pilot's casting breakdown as Agent Althea Rice, a.k.a. the Cavalry. This hardcore soldier has crazy skills when it comes to weapons and being a pilot, but her experiences have left her very quiet and a little damaged. So, yeah.
Damaged just like me.
And Shel Silverstein wrote a poem about Melinda May. Did you know that?
I'm thinking it might be a different Melinda May.
Well, it came up when I was searching for Melinda May, and I was like, oh, I recognize that. Have you heard of tiny Melinda May who ate a monstrous whale? She thought she could, she said she would, so she started right at the tail. And everyone said, you're much too small, but that didn't bother Melinda at all. She took little bites, and she chewed very slow, just like a little girl should. And 89 years later, she ate that whale because she said she would. So I'm curious what episode that's going to show up in. But
oh, we got to get you on the writing staff.
I don't think that that's going to get me there, though. So... We also then, the pull quote that got me most excited, and it's because of who said it, from today's panel, or yesterday's panel, was Clark Gregg basically said, wait until you see episode 2. And that got me excited because I trust him. I don't know if I should trust him. I mean, he's kind of obligated to sell people on the show because it's money in the bank.
But has he ever led us wrong?
He's never led me anywhere other than to like his character on Avengers. So, but yeah, he says, wait till you see episode 2. And the way he said it, it just made it, you know, it was so confident. And I'm just thinking to myself, okay, I think we're in for something good here. I think we're in for something really good. So that was the pull quote for me. Wait till you see episode 2.
And what do we know about episode 2?
Well,
we're spending way too much money to make the following episodes.
I don't know. Now, who was it that said that? It was...
I want to say Bell?
He was one of the producers or something, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it was just kind of funny. He was kind of sitting there quietly, and then all of a sudden he's, you know, they're asking this question. He doesn't really have an answer, and then he just says, well, we're spending way too much money. Oh, that's kind of fun.
Which is possible with Disney. They may think he's spending way too much money because with the Lone Ranger, what we heard is, hey, you guys spent way too much money, and Bruckheimer, next time you get less.
Lone Ranger.
I have not yet seen it. I know that you enjoyed it. Yeah. I'm not going to run down the Lone Ranger, but it probably was a little too much money.
Well, there were problems and reshoots, and didn't they stop filming for a while?
Well, they were completely shut down because they had no budget.
Right. So, I mean, there's definitely money problems in that movie. And some of that does show up on the screen, but not – well, we're not talking about Lone Ranger. Let's get back to
that. No, we're not talking about – but, I mean, Disney, I mean, it's possible when he makes that comment, Disney may be telling him, hey, you're spending a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because they've been watching the bottom line a lot lately.
But if any TV series is going to make back its money in advertising – any regular TV series.
Advertising, merchandise, Coulson Lives, koozies, come on.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait to buy my Coulson Lives Snuggie. And
so awkward.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm curious what this is going to look like. I have heard people say, you know, it's definitely made for television, but it feels bigger than most television that you're watching.
Well, and I think the final thing that I would say about it is it seems like every review that I've heard of this pilot episode, including the folks that were there, it's all very, very positive. Heard things like 9 out of 10, heard things like, you know, best new show, going to knock your socks off. It sounds like we're going to be podcasting for a while.
Yes. The other thing that I've heard, and I'm of two minds about this, but a lot of the reviews are saying there's too much witty banter for its own good. And that there's times where some of the tension just kind of falls away because of the witticisms or the Whedonisms or whatever. And I'll say this. I think Whedon is a very, very talented writer. And I had a new appreciation for the Avengers this time when I watched it because I was seeing things I hadn't seen before that do come from the writing. And the directing, he did both. But I do think sometimes he's a little too witty for his own good in his writing and maybe a little too cutesy with the witty banter and that kind of thing. I'm not a fan of Buffy or Angel. I never watched them. And it's not that I'm not a fan because I didn't like it. It's just because I didn't have a chance to really get into it. But I'm a fan of Firefly, and I like Dollhouse, and Cabin in the Woods was an interesting and witty movie. But I do wonder if this pilot episode is going to, you know, weigh heavy underneath the witty dialogue from Joss Whedon.
And I have a feeling it probably will. I think it's going to have the same sort of feel as the Avengers when it comes to the dialogue and the tone.
But the thing is with the Avengers is I never really felt like the wittiness weighed things down. It always felt character driven.
But maybe it'll feel the same way in the show.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
But what I'm afraid of from hearing some of these people say this is, you know, that there's a little too much for his own good.
But we also know that there's people that do reviews that don't even like any of it.
That's true. That's true.
The minute you inject any of that humor, they begin to feel as if it's not serious enough and begin to just dislike it out of personal choice.
Let me say this. I've gotten a little frustrated watching interviews with Joss Whedon. Not having been into all the fandom with Dollhouse, with – not that there's much of a fandom for Dollhouse, but with Firefly, Buffy, and Angel, I haven't been familiar with his style of being interviewed, where every single question has to have a joke for an answer. And it doesn't matter. You know, it's got to have a joke, and sometimes at the expense of the interviewer and sometimes not. But it started to get a little – frustrating for me. I'm like, well, just answer the question, you know. And there's one interview, and I wonder how much of this is coming from him being tired of answering stupid questions. I can totally see that being the case. All right, so I'm not holding this against him. I'm just trying to figure things out right now, because I haven't watched too much of actually him. And there was one interview where I was watching where this woman was asking him questions. You could just tell, I've heard this question a billion times, and here, and just throwing out these one-liners, you know. And then he was talking to this guy a little later on, and he's like actually giving some real answers, because the guy is asking questions that I would have never thought to ask and that sound like they might have been new questions for him. So I'm just saying that, you know, I want this to be funny. I want this to have, you know, Coulson's wit and that kind of thing. But that's the one negative that I've seen in reviews, and so it makes me a little worried, but... not a big deal.
Yeah, I have a feeling if you like the Avengers and you like the tone of it, you're going to like the show, the tone of the show. So.
It'd be nice if I didn't like it, just for the sake of having, you know, more fights and stuff on the podcast. You know,
if you didn't like it, I would tell you to quit podcasting.
No, but then we could actually, you know, have
no,
back and forth.
No.
Like, I hate it, because...
No, don't worry, we'll have
back. I totally hate things.
We're going to have
some. I hate everything, man.
I don't hate everything.
I hate...
Trust me.
I hate the show and the horse it rode in on, man. Maybe not.
Maybe. Okay. I think we're going to debate a few
things. We will definitely debate things. I think there's plenty to be debated.
So I think that's all we got right at the moment for our new favorite TV show.
Yes. Which we've only seen no episodes of, but...
zero. But it is my favorite TV show.
Yes. And that's not the end of the news, though.
No, because Marvel did some other things.
Yes. Yes.
So along with showing the pilot, they also showed the new short yesterday.
The new one-shot. I think it's just called Marvel One-Shot's Agent Carter. Agent Carter is the title. And it's about Agent Carter... surprisingly enough, from Captain America.
What?
Yeah, I know. It does what's on the tin.
And we know that it's got Howard in it.
Yeah, Howard Stark is in it. And then it also has, I can never remember this guy's name, even though I like him so much, because he was on, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. I like that show. He was on West Wing. He was in Cabin in the Woods. I can't remember the guy's name for the life of me.
Yes, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. He is in this one shot, and he plays Agent Carter's boss or something like that. This is a 15-minute movie, from what I understand.
Wow, 15 for a one shot?
Yeah, so we're getting much longer. And this isn't a spoiler. This is something that I read in an interview. Well, actually, it might be a spoiler. But there's like 3 fight scenes in this movie. And compared to Item 47, which had 1, basically, well, there's 3 action set pieces. So this is a much bigger thing than Item 47. This is far, far bigger than A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Thor's Hammer. And just, I mean, this is leaps and bounds beyond The Consultant as far as the one-shots go. So I am excited about this one-shot.
I am also.
It is going to be on the DVD for Iron Man 3. Which comes out on the same day as the premiere for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's going to be a busy day.
It is. It is.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to watch that one shot before I watch the show.
Yes, because the one shot is dealing with the SSR, which is basically the precursor to S.H.I.E.L.D. I think we're looking at a 15-minute S.H.I.E.L.D. prequel. Maybe it's not setting up the origins of S.H.I.E.L.D. or anything like that, but it's showing us a mission of some sort taking place... right at the end of or after World War II. And because this is after Captain America, this is after Captain America's plane went down. And this is following Agent Carter, who, you know, he has a date with.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
This is Agent Peggy Carter.
Yes.
Do you think that this is going to lead to us finding out that her granddaughter is someone like Agent Sharon Carter?
I think so, because isn't there a Agent 13 character in Winter Soldier?
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's what we're going to find out. I think we honestly, this is speculation, not a spoiler, but if because I don't know if this is true or not. I think we're going to see Agent Carter as an older woman in Winter Soldier, like as a 90-year-old or something like that, I guess.
Well, and I think
it's harder to do that. The further away we get from World War II, the harder it is to like believe that people are still alive.
But there's still a few.
But she's, you know, how old was she in Winter Soldier? She's probably 30.
She was 12. Because that's what she'll need to be in order.
She'll
to
She'll be 90 something in Winter Soldier, but
yeah, but I mean, I think that you could easily see that. I mean, you get that scene in The Ultimates, for example, where you find out that Bucky and Cap's girlfriend got married, and you see them as an elderly couple, and Cap meeting up with them. I mean, it's a if Captain America 2 is about him getting used to this new world that he's become part of, that is a definite tension stirrer right there.
Absolutely, and it'll be interesting to see where that goes to. So. Yeah, so Agent Carter, I have not seen any reviews of this thing. Honestly, I haven't been looking for it. I'm excited about it anyway. I don't care. I did see a one-minute preview of it that was on some website yesterday. But it was, yeah, it looks good, and I'm excited.
All right, so let's talk about the Thor news.
Now let's talk about Captain America 2, the Winter Soldier news, because that was the Thor news right there. This is, again, underwhelming. Underwhelming. They have no Thor Dark World news at all. Just nothing. Tom Hiddleston came out in costume and acted like Loki, which is kind of cool to have been there to see that. Not so cool to read tweets about it. But
my knees were shaking as I read the tweets.
That's not the reaction I was having.
So, I believe the actual message that I sent you at that moment said, I'm wearing my Loki costume too.
Yes, and the message I sent back to you was, Tom Hiddleston is allowed to do that, you not so much. So, yeah. And, but then Tom Hiddleston wasn't even wearing his helmet. I mean, that's weak. Come on, man.
Commit to the role.
Exactly. Although I can't imagine how that helmet stays on. That's something to talk about in the Avengers podcast, but that helmet, man, it looks heavy and looks awkward. So, okay, so Thor news. There was none. They were just, you know, they showed some clips from it, though. But since they weren't allowed to reveal anything, you know, and they weren't allowed to, like, show any of the clips online or anything like that, we don't know what they showed them. So, I'm still excited about the movie. America. But
Captain America 2, Winter Soldier.
Yes, a little bit came out of that, but not much. The guy who plays Falcon and said that he and Captain America did a lot of fighting and stuff. That's cool.
We found out that this is probably as much Black Widow's movie as it is Cap's movie.
Yeah, they said something about kind of being an odd couple. And I could see that. You know, if you're thinking about theme and stuff like that, Captain America, man out of time from a simpler age. I think I saw a tweet saying that Chris Evans said something about how the world's more gray now. And yeah, if Captain America, you know, he's the American ideal from the 40s, and then you have Black Widow, who's very jaded by her life and her past and the world. And so, yeah, what do you think? You think the play is going to work there, though? Will they be able to play off each other? And is that the romance of the movie?
I think it could be, though. Again, I eventually want him to turn his eye toward Sharon Carter. I'm going to be honest. In the Ultimates, they do this with Captain America and Wasp, where they have a romance, and there's a lot of tension around the fact that you know, she's of our time and we're young and strong and we live in New York. We should be clubbing. And Steve Rogers is, what? You know, in his mind, he's from the 40s and he just wants to go down to the corner club and hang out with Bucky, who's retired, and all of Bucky's retired friends. So, I mean, it's definitely an interesting dynamic in the Ultimates, and I can see him doing something like that here.
See, I haven't read the Ultimates. So that right when the Ultimates came out was when I was starting to just lose interest in the Ultimate Universe. But that's funny. I like that.
Yeah.
So I think, I guess, you know, I don't consider myself a shipper, but I was expecting Black Widow and Hawkeye to, you know, develop that relationship and, you know.
But, and I've had this debate with others, and we'll probably have it in a few episodes. I don't necessarily feel that that's a romantic relationship. I think they have a very deep relationship. I think that they probably know each other in ways that others don't, but I don't think it's romance with those two.
And if that's the case, that's great. I want to see it on the screen, you know, outlined like that, where, because it felt like there was romantic tension in Avengers. So, but I like, you know, whenever there's a good friendship between a male and female character, it's refreshing. So, yeah, if that's the case, that's cool.
Yep.
So, all right. Anything else about Captain America 2, Winter Soldier?
No.
No.
There's going to be guns.
No.
Falcon's going to fly.
Yeah. Which
is
cool.
That's good. His name's Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They showed some clips and
Chris Evans likes getting paid.
So let's see. Should we talk Guardians of the Galaxy at all?
Yeah, go ahead. Now go ahead and and officially confirm all the casting news that we pretty much knew all about.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy. Lee Pace is playing Ronan the Accuser. Karen Gillan from Doctor Who is playing Nebula. Who else was there? Oh, there was Yondu. Michael Rooker is playing Yondu. And Benicio del Toro is playing Collector? Is that right? Yeah. So, I'm throwing out these names. Nebula, Ronan, Collector, and Yondu. And some people might be saying to themselves, what the heck is he talking about? And basically, Nebula, that's the Karen Gillan character. She is some sort of space pirate who has worked with Thanos. Ronan the Accuser is a Kree, which is an alien race. And he's also been involved with some Thanos stuff, I think. I think he does some accusing. Collector, he collects things.
No judgment here from Ronan.
Also a character connected with Thanos. I mean, all those characters.
Does the Collector collect?
I just said that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He is part of the Korvac saga, I guess, which is good because I'm getting ready to read that right now. The Korvac saga is some Thor and I think maybe Avengers comics that included the Guardians of the Galaxy from the future. Yondu is character from the Guardians of the Galaxy, but
he's Hawkeye, right?
Yeah, basically he's alien Hawkeye, and you know, the original Guardians of the Galaxy is what I'm reading right now, and it actually used to take place in the year 3015 or something like that, and which is, I like this series a lot. Of it was written by Steve Gerber. I really am a big fan of Steve Gerber. I love Howard the Duck, Man Thing. A lot of the other things he's written, there's stuff he's written that I don't like, but during the 70s, he wrote a lot of just random, weird, oddball Marvel stuff, like Guardians of the Galaxy. And basically, you know, these are like the last humans from different Earth colonies, and they all had different powers because their humans were changed so they could work on the moons of Jupiter or work on Pluto. And so they all had powers to get rid of the Badoon who had taken over the Earth. And Yondu was, I think he was actually the only alien character, but he's just this weird blue guy who shoots arrows. And I'm excited to see him in this movie. But really, other than casting news that had already been predicted by a whole bunch of people on the internets, There was not much to say about Guardians of the Galaxy. So
snoozer.
Yeah, again, not really.
Well, and I'll be honest, Brett, you're reading the year 3000 Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm in the middle of reading the 2008 Guardians of the Galaxy. And I'm actually getting interested in Guardians of the Galaxy as I'm about issue 7 right at the moment.
I'm also reading the Marvel Now Guardians of the Galaxy too.
Well, and see, the thing is, I read issue 1 of Guardians of the Galaxy, Marvel Now, which is basically this team, and I was unenthused. But this 2008 team, which has got some of these key characters, and Drax and Gamora and Rocket and Groot, it's fun. It's definitely an adventure. It's not deep, but it's action-packed. But all of those villains you just named, none of them are in the 2008 series, so I am completely lost.
Well, these are all characters from classic stories like the Infinity Gems and stuff like that. And I think all the people who were predicting these characters being part of the movie, they were predicting the Infinity Gems story and the Infinity Gauntlet and some of those things. And, you know, it all ties into Thanos, which is something we're going to talk about in just a moment here. But It's all stuff, classic Thanos space Marvel stories.
Hey, I want to do a quick review real quick.
Okay.
The Rocket Raccoon miniseries. Wackadoo.
Okay.
It's insane.
It is. My review is, let's see, awesome, but most people won't like it, I guess.
I'm just going to tell you now, folks. Ignore Ben. And do not read the Rocket Raccoon.
Do not ignore me about Rocket Raccoon. Rocket Raccoon is an offbeat, weird sci-fi fantasy story. And so if you like Howard the Duck, you'll like Rocket Raccoon.
Okay, for the one guy out there who's not you who likes Howard
the Duck. There's not one person. There's like three or four people who are listening to this podcast who would enjoy Rocket Raccoon, the miniseries.
It's insane. But it, again, interesting. Rocket Raccoon, the miniseries, I lost enthusiasm for the part of Guardians of the Galaxy that I thought I'd be the most excited about with Rocket.
Except I'm positive that the Rocket Raccoon from the miniseries is not the same Rocket Raccoon as what's in current Marvel continuity.
I think there's a good chance it is the same one.
Well, I don't know.
And here's one of the things we've argued about in the past. That raccoon is a raccoon. He's not an alien. He's a raccoon.
Well, if he's the one from the miniseries, then yeah, he's a raccoon. He's an anthropomorphic raccoon, you know, doing things that raccoons can't do, like walk on its hind legs and shoot guns and talk and be witty and that kind of thing. But yeah, I don't know, because I don't know how that miniseries fits into the current continuity. And I don't think that Rocket Raccoon knows. Based on the Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers of Tomorrow one-shot that just came out, it kind of gives background on those characters. And the Rocket Raccoon character story, he's flirting with people in a bar, flirting with these weird alien women. He's like, I am a raccoon, or I'm a space guy with a dubious background story or something like that. I mean, basically,
it's dubious.
You know, basically saying, who knows what my background is? Who knows what my backstory is? This miniseries, though, it's fantastic. I love the Rocket Raccoon miniseries. That's all I have to say about that.
So let's do the big news. The big boy, the bomb.
Yes, they revealed that Great Lakes Avengers is going... No.
No, that would just be a hot mess.
No. The big news, and Joss Whedon said it himself... do you want a drum roll or do you want a trumpet?
Trumpet.
Okay. They named the sequel to The Avengers, and what it is... Daniel?
Avengers, Age of Ultron.
Avengers, Age of... So it's exciting in its own way. A little bit underwhelming, but okay. To me, it's a little bit underwhelming. To Daniel, it's something more. So.
Boo!
Would you care to explain yourself, or should I explain myself first?
You start first, but I'm going to boo the whole time.
Okay, I have no idea what's going on in Age of Ultron in current Marvel comics, because I'm reading old, weird Marvel comics and Marvel Cinematic Marvel comics right now. Apparently, Age of Ultron is, though, the big crossover event this year from Marvel. I'm assuming that from what I do know of Age of Ultron, this is not what the movie is going to be about. It's going to be its own story, just like the first Avengers was its own story. But Ultron.
I think you're right there, because this 2013 Age of Ultron miniseries, let's be honest, Ultron is already an established character.
Yeah.
And we have not yet established Ultron in the MCU.
I think we're going to see an Ultron origin story in Avengers Age of Ultron. It's going to be... Ultron is a robot who was created by Hank Pym, right?
Correct.
Okay, he's created by Hank Pym. He became self-aware and became evil and became a thorn in the Avengers' side for decades to come afterward. And he's got a cool look to him. He's kind of got a skull-type metal head, and there seems to be – I think there's like energy churning within his head or something that looks like he's got kind of fire in his mouth kind of thing. But – he's a big villain for the Avengers, especially now with this big, big event. But he's created by one of the Avengers. And so I think there's a lot of ways that this makes sense in the context of the Marvel movie universe.
No, it makes no sense in the context of the Marvel movie
universe. I'm not done yet. Let me finish why it makes sense, and then you can do your grumpy old man spiel here.
It's not grumpy old man. It's logic.
Okay. So, I mean, here's the thing. You know, aside from what Daniel's about to say, which does He's make right. sense. What Daniel's about to say does make sense. I will give him that. But, you know, Tony Stark has already created an artificial intelligence with Jarvis. And they are doing an Ant-Man movie. But this Avengers Age of Ultron movie could introduce Ant-Man, Hank Pym. Ant-Man, who I love. He was Ant-Man first, then he became Giant-Man because he stopped shrinking and started growing, and so you had him growing and Wasp shrinking, who is his wife, and he became Yellow Jacket, and he's the scientist guy. Yeah, so here's the thing. I can totally see this making sense in the context of everything that Marvel movie universe is doing except for what Daniel's about to say. Go.
So we established at the end of the Avengers that Thanos was out there and that he is the big bad guy. And I haven't forgotten this because the first time I saw the Avengers, I didn't even I saw Thanos and then I went to the bathroom and then this swarma happened. But we know Thanos is out there. We know Thanos is coming. We've had him projected out to us. So what do we get at the end of Iron Man 3? Nothing to do with Thanos.
Because we're expecting at the end of Iron Man 3, which is the first Phase 2 movie.
We need something that moves the story forward.
Something that makes us look forward to Phase 2.
And as I will say when we do Iron Man 3, that scene does not move us forward into Phase 2 in the same way that the end credit scene at the end of Iron Man moved us towards Avengers.
So
then we look at these movies. So we know Thor has got a connection to Thanos because the Infinity Gauntlet was in Thor. So we could easily get a Thanos appearance or connection in Thor the Dark World. Now, Captain America, I don't know how we would necessarily do that. But my theory was, is we'd find out at the end of Iron Man 3 and at the end of Captain America that it was Thanos pulling the strings behind whatever the bad guy was. Then we get to Guardians of the Galaxy, where two Guardians and Drax and Gamora have super thick ties to Thanos. I mean, they are linked in. One of them was born only to kill Thanos, and the other one was seen as his daughter. This was all leading towards Avengers 2 being something like the Infinity Gauntlet. It's insane. Now,
and now it's not.
Maybe if Ant-Man was before Avengers 2, I'd be a little bit happier because of the fact that I could say, okay, maybe we'll see something in there that tells us Ultron's coming, or we'd have an Easter egg of a head laying around. But this whole phase 2 needed to lead towards Thanos. What are we hearing now? Phase 3 leading towards Thanos.
Are we hearing that? Because I haven't heard
I've heard that Avengers 3 will deal with Thanos.
Okay.
But somewhere in here, we have to deal with Thanos because we showed him.
And Phase 3 is a way out.
It's way out.
So at the end of Avengers, they teased a movie that's going to be coming when? 5 years from now?
Yeah.
But I could see Thor Dark World. There's rumors of some connections to Guardians of the Galaxy, which, you know, if you want to stay spoiler free, then I'm not going to say it. But there are rumors of this, of a connection between Guardians of the Galaxy and Thor the Dark World, which would, you know, build towards what you're talking about there. Iron Man 3 is its own thing. And we'll talk more about that when we actually get to Iron Man 3. But Iron Man 3 is more of an epilogue to Phase 1.
But even in Iron Man 3, you could have found out in the cutscene that behind the scenes the real puppet master was Thanos.
I don't think that that would make sense, though. I think that there would have to be something a little less tied into the actual plot of Iron Man 3. And that, not that, that there's no reason for it to be tied into the plot. I mean, Thanos, well...
And why is Marvel doing all this Thanos stuff recently? We've been doing reviews of Thanos Rising. It's going to be followed by Infinity. That's going to have Thanos at the center of it.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll review that, too, because Thanos is coming.
I think that Thanos is going to be a bigger part of Guardians of the Galaxy than they have been letting on. I think that Thanos is going to be a big part of Guardians of the Galaxy, and it will lead to Avengers 3. But I don't know. This Age of Ultron thing, it does throw things for a loop. It's like they set it up and they didn't hit it. They decided to take a left turn and they zigged when we thought they were going to zag.
And you know what they said? Kevin looked over at Joss and he said, "You know, Joss, that miniseries thing about the robot, it's got a good title. Let's just use it."
Or maybe it was Joss sitting there and saying, "You know, Kevin, I like to do things that people don't expect. Like, you know, kill off a character in the middle of a movie." And you know what people would not expect? They would not expect Avengers 2 to not have Thanos in it at all. Let's do that. And I don't know. I'm just
shaking my head.
I'm okay with it as long as, you know, things make sense as they happen.
And I'll be honest, it didn't have to be the Infinity Gauntlet. It didn't have to be any of the, you know, it could have just been something like Avengers Infinity. And that would have worked really, really well. You could have pulled the Guardians into that movie. You could have had you could have had Thor in there easily.
I think that's what you're looking at for Avengers 3.
But by then, Thor's going to be off married in New Mexico.
Yeah, which means he's right there. He's right there to help.
Drinking his Dr. Pepper, eating his Burger King.
And having a Slurpee.
Keeping his little brother from marrying former child rock stars. I mean...
Okay, so as long as things...
It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense right now. I do trust them that it will make sense. But
I guess I'm willing to trust them if Guardians of the Galaxy is good.
Yeah, well...
And but as I've said before, Guardians of the Galaxy is a movie where a lot can break down for me.
I agree. Although I'm more optimistic about it than you. But
so I think because we've gone on for 12 hours, we still have two more questions that we need to ask each other.
Only two.
But they're questions that could take a lot.
They won't. They won't.
So first, what didn't happen that you were expecting?
Well, they didn't announce the unknown movie titles for the movies that have dates. And so we still don't know
when Great Lake Avengers will premiere.
We don't know the premiere date for Great Lakes Avengers. We don't know what's coming in May 6th, 2016. We don't know July 8th, 2016 or May 5th, 2017. And everyone was saying that they would announce, you know, Doctor Strange, and we don't know anything new as far as that goes.
Now, about a month from now, they do have to announce some more stuff at D23.
I'm curious about that.
And if they announce, you know, some of these movie titles at D23, which they've announced Pixar titles and concepts at D23, that will tell you that Disney corporate got involved with Marvel this time. And that they push for it to be released there at their controlled event versus announcing it at Comic-Con.
Be interesting.
Because the other thing I did not see a lot of Star Wars announcements come out of this Comic-Con either. Other than the mashup of Phineas and Ferb and Star Wars.
Which I don't even want to talk about right now.
Yeah, well, and we won't. But I mean, again, I wasn't seeing tons of Disney news. But then I wasn't seeing tons of news coming out of this.
Yeah. So, okay. So that there's that, and
so who's Vin Diesel playing?
That's the other thing we didn't hear is, and I wasn't expecting that actually, because the article I read where they were talking to Vin Diesel and he was talking about, like, he mentioned Vision, and like he mentioned some stuff about Vision that he knew what was going on with that character, and so people were talking, oh, Vin Diesel's going to be Vision in Avengers 2 or whatever,
or is he going to be Rocket Raccoon, or is he going to be Groot?
He could be Groot. I like Groot because, you know, I bought that issue of his first appearance because it looked like a swamp monster.
But he only has to say one line, so he's cheap. He just has to say, I am Groot.
Right.
And he's good.
You bring him in, he can do the ADR 18 times with different inflections.
Say it happy, say it sad, say it angry, say it mad.
And then they can just take it and mix and match the different... A happy I, a sad M, and a angry Groot. The character of Groot, by the way, for people who don't know, is a living tree. And right now, the only phrase he speaks is the phrase "I am Groot," and he has his origins back in the old, really weak horror Marvel comic about an alien tree that it's just bad.
David Tennant, is he going to be the raccoon?
We don't know this. Back to Vin Diesel, I think I wasn't expecting to find out who he was because that article said something about knowing at the end of the month. It would be revealed at the end of the month or something like that.
Why reveal it at the end of the month when they could reveal it at D23 at the beginning of next month?
Well, maybe that's what they're referring to. I don't know. But I'm almost expecting him to end up being Ultron.
You know, that might actually be a good match.
Yeah. I could also see, I really could see him being Vision. That'd be cool. But I wonder if he's going to be Ultron. I mean, he's got that intimidating voice.
I will say this. If you bring Ultron into it, it gives you a reason to bring Vision into it, too. Because you'd have a good android to face off against a bad android.
Right. And honestly, Vision could be Ultron. I mean, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you could easily do that kind of a turnaround, and it would make sense. But so, yeah, there's lots of things that people were expecting to be announced that weren't. Obviously, we weren't expecting them to announce Avengers Age of Ultron. I just figured it was going to be Avengers 2. So I was surprised about that. Here's the last question I have for you, Daniel, about today. We also found out some interesting information from the Distinguished Competition. Warner Brothers, DC, made a bunch of movie announcements and stuff about, you know, Godzilla and stuff like that. And then they made the announcement that the Man of Steel sequel is going to be Batman and Superman. And that's really interesting and very unexpected. And here's the question, Daniel. Is that bigger news than Avengers Age of Ultron?
Well, I mean, watching Twitter, specifically Agent M, a Marvel one, clearly.
Yeah, Agent M, who is the Marvel Twitter guy, he posted on Twitter that... it's a little unfair, though. He's walking out of Hall H.
Okay, so...
Asking people who were just, you know, just heard Joss Whedon announce Avengers Age of Ultron.
And probably didn't hear the announcement for Batman Superman because they were in line for this session.
Yeah. He asked them what was the best you know, the best panels of the day, and everyone said Marvel.
Which was probably the only panel they saw all day.
Especially if you were those people who stood in line for 10 hours. But watching things come through Twitter, and my reply to Agent M was, I don't know. I mean, the Batman Superman news almost is bigger to me than Avengers Age of Ultron.
I'd say it is bigger.
Well, I've been thinking about it, and I think it is.
Okay, so here's how I break this down. DC announced a new movie. Avengers, right? And Marvel gave us a subtitle.
Yes.
I mean, that's where it is for me. And you could say, oh, now we know Avengers 2 is about Ultron. Well, we know that the villain is Ultron. We know with Batman and Superman that we're finally seeing the team up on the screen.
Yeah, here's the difference. The big difference is what you just said. We're seeing two icons on the screen together in Batman Superman, or Superman Batman, or whatever they're going to call it. Man of Steel, Dark Knight, whatever. It's two icons.
The only way Marvel could have trumped that is to announce that Wolverine was joining the Avengers.
I think that they could have trumped it by announcing, you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is playing Doctor Strange and Great Lakes Avengers and or whatever. Like
It would have had to have been they announced the titles of the three unnamed movies.
Yeah. I mean,
and they had three casting with them. I mean, I think Batman Superman wins the day.
Avengers Age of Ultron, it's cool, and I know I'm more positive about it than you, but yeah, I'm looking at the stuff that happened. Sure, they showed the pilot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but we didn't see that. We saw Twitter announcements about this, and so for the people who were there, it was awesome, and for the people who got to see Agent Carter, I'm sure it was cool. For, you know, the people sitting at home in the armchair watching things happen, like you and like me, Superman and Batman are going to be in a big budget movie together. That's huge. I don't think.
Well, and we also know that means we're going to get casting news about a new Batman in the future.
Yep.
And if we don't get casting news about a new Batman in the future, it's because we got even bigger news that Bale stayed on as Batman, which would be even more shocking.
It would be so cool looking, but I don't know how cool of a movie it would be, because I feel the trilogy is a good trilogy.
But you know what I mean? I think that this news even sets them up for bigger news, because the thing is nobody's going to be really asking who's going to be playing Ultron.
Well,
people are going to be asking who's playing Batman.
Because the person on the street, Ultron? You know, it sounds like Voltron. What is he? Does he break apart into five lions?
Oh, why, yes, I do remember that miniseries from 2013 that led into Avengers AI. No!
No.
No one knows.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. It's true. We're going to have Batman and Superman fighting each other on the screen, and you're going to have Avengers fighting some robot that no one's ever heard of except for people like us who are in the culture, and it's...
Well, and the thing is, I know for a fact we have listeners who do not know who Ultron is, and that is not anything negative about their comic book knowledge. It's not like Ultron is the Joker.
Well, you know,
he's not on that level. Even in Marvel, he's not on that level. He's not on a Loki level as far as in the culture.
Well, let me ask you this question, Daniel. Thinking about, okay, Man of Steel 2, basically what they announced, Man of Steel 2 will feature a character called Batman. To the man on the street, they know, you know, these are icons. I don't think there is something in Marvel's library that could outdo announcing a Batman-Superman team-up. I don't think there's anything. I mean, you could say Wolverine.
But who would you put with Wolverine to be with Superman?
Well, that's just it. I mean, okay, Wolverine and Iron Man.
But Iron Man wasn't Iron Man until Downey Jr. put on the suit.
But he's Iron Man now. I mean, he's that.
But you know what I mean.
But there's nothing that they could announce that would outdo this Batman-Superman announcement. There's nothing.
And what I've always argued is DC is really good at the top. They've got 6 to 8 characters that are just primo cream of the crop. And then you get into their depth, and it gets weak. Where Marvel, they don't have those figures that are as iconic in the culture, but they're much better in their depth. And so, yeah, Batman, Superman, those are the two big boys.
Yeah. They're the icons.
Yeah. You think superhero, and one of those two is probably going to pop to your mind.
Well, I mean, they're such icons that, you know, when they did the posters for the original Batman movie, they didn't even put a word on the poster. They just put the symbol on there, and you knew exactly what you were seeing. You knew exactly what that poster was promoting.
Even this summer, you see the S on a poster, you know exactly what that poster was for.
Yeah. And because it's iconography, whatever. It's icons that you're seeing. So
I do not feel like Marvel won this Comic-Con. I don't think they walked around with the biggest news. I think they gave us great information. Well, no, I don't even think they gave us great information about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
They gave us some. Yeah, it was underwhelming.
No, the best moment for me in this entire Comic-Con was in that session, and it was watching Clark Gregg get a standing ovation.
Yes.
Because that to me was a crowning achievement for, to be honest, an actor who has been a character actor to be able to walk into that room, walk towards his seat on that panel, and basically be treated like a rock star because of what a great job he's done. That was my favorite moment of Comic-Con. But that still is not as big a news as Batman Superman.
And see, the thing for me is that's not as powerful for me because we're back at home and we're watching this on YouTube or something like that. So I bet if we were there right now and got to see those two panels or even got to see just one of them, we would have a different answer to the question.
Well, but the thing is, if we were there,
the Warner Brothers
had to split up those panels, and we would have each thought that our panel was better than the other person's panel just because we weren't in the other panel.
And everything I heard about the Marvel or about the DC Warner Brothers panel, it just seems really dry, flat. Here's what we're talking about. Here's what we're doing, and that kind of thing. And with the Marvel stuff, it felt like they were really prepping it for Hall H. The people in Hall H were getting a treat. And they really, really did. And that's cool too, you know? And, you know, someone asked on Twitter, well, are they going to show any footage from, you know, from Thor and Captain America online? And one of the Marvel people tweeted back, no, this is just for the people at Hall H. And that's cool. That's a lot of fun. And if we were there, that would be our answer. Our answer would be, yeah, Marvel outdid DC 20,000 times better. But back home, I'm looking at two of my childhood heroes, Batman and Superman, that I get to see in a big budget movie. It wins.
And announced a month after Marvel launches a Batman Superman title. I mean, DC launches a Batman Superman title.
So, yeah. So I think DC wins. We are curious what you think. Listeners, what do you think about who won, or does it matter who won?
Where would someone put their opinion, my friend?
Well, they can contact us by sending an email to feedback@welcometolevel7.com. They can also follow us on Twitter, where we are Level7Pod, no spaces, and spell out the number 7. And on Level 7 Pod, we are retweeting a whole bunch of stuff from people who are at San Diego. And we retweet things from the actors and things from producers and stuff like that. So as we see news that we think is interesting, we're tweeting about it again. you can leave us a voicemail. We would love to get voicemails from you. And you can just pick up your phone and dial 177-55, the word level, and the number 7. And if you call us, we can leave, or we can use your voicemail that you leave for us on an episode.
And if you're real lucky, it won't be set up right, and you will just go straight to the cell phone of Ben Avery.
That only happened once, and I think I fixed that. So, and then we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/welcometolevel7. We want to hear from you. My vision for this podcast is for it to be a conversation and not just us talking at you guys, but being able to interact with anyone who's listening. And so we do want to hear from you. And, you know, sure, if we can make money doing this, that'd be great. But right now we can't. I mean, podcasting is not really a money-making endeavor. We're doing this for the fun of it. We're doing this because we enjoy these movies. We are going to enjoy this TV show, we are assuming. And we want to engage in conversation with each other and with you. So please, please give us feedback and join the conversation. So anything else you want to say there, Daniel? We got two upcoming episodes that we know we're doing. Captain America and the Avengers. And beyond that, we've got a couple other topics lined up. So I think that's it from me. So,
and all I can say is, Ben, I didn't like being dead.
Thank you for listening to Welcome to Level 7. We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-77-55, the word level, and then the number 7. That's 1-775-553-8357. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/welcometolevel7. 7 is spelled out. Follow us on Twitter, where we are level7pod. 7 is spelled out. Or email us directly, feedback@welcometolevel7.com. 7 is spelled out. Visit our website, welcometolevel7.com, for news, reviews, and links to our RSS feeds. Our theme music is The Light Fantastic by J.S. Earls, jserls.bandcamp.com. And again, thanks for listening.
And all I can say is, Ben, I didn't like being dead.
Sounds so weird out of context.
I know. That's why I wanted it. It's because it's weird out of context.
All right.